The book of Proverbs treats speech with the utmost seriousness. And so it should, because it is a book of sayings. The clue is in the title. Proverbs is self-aware of its potential to transform the life of the reader who receives what it has to say. And Proverbs teaches that words can bring enormous blessing, but it also teaches that they can cause real damage and destruction. Of the 930 sayings in the book, it would be fair to say that speech in some form or other features in several hundred of those sayings. And the book of Proverbs offers to train us and to equip us so that we can speak wisely for our own good and for that of others. Proverbs 18, verse 20 and 21. From the fruit of his mouth, a man's stomach is filled. With the harvest from his lips, he is satisfied. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Proverbs 12, 14. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. Now, this is a really important theme in the book of Proverbs. We eat our own words. Speech does not just come from us, but we feed on it also. Our speech is very much part of who we are and what we are. If we speak wisely, we will be the immediate beneficiary of that. And if we speak wrongly, we will be the immediate casualty of that. Our speech feeds and forms our character, for better or for worse. And surely our aim must be to feed others with the food of wisdom that we ourselves are feeding upon. And if that is the case, our words can be a marvelous thing, tremendous vehicles of blessing. Proverbs 10, 21. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. 13, verse 14. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a man from the snares of death. 12:18, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. 15:4, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. The book of Proverbs wants to make us into individuals and offers to make us individuals who can talk like that. Being a fountain of life, a tree of life, bringing healing. So could there be any more relevant and practical study than one that focuses on how we talk? So in this brief study, we're going to hear something of what Proverbs has to say regarding both foolish speech, which is to be avoided, and wise words that we want to adopt and deploy in our lives. So you will benefit from noting the references that I'm going to be giving in the course of this study. They will assist you then when you come back to this for further reflection. So let's think first of all about foolish speech. I find it interesting, but in the sort of famous passage in chapter 6, verse 16 to 19, where it lists the seven things that the Lord hates, three of them involve speech. A lying tongue, a false witness, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Here's what we've got to get. God takes human speech, that unique quality in his image bearers, he takes it deadly seriously. So here's this anatomy of foolish speech that the book of Proverbs gives us. Lies. This is the largest category of speech that is offensive to God in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 12, 22. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. A false witness who tells lies can cause tremendous damage. 25:18, like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is the man who gives false testimony against his neighbor. 14:25, a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. Lies can destroy lives, but it would be a fatal mistake to think that the God of truth is somehow indifferent to lies. 19 verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will not go free. 19 verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who pours out lies will perish. So the question is, are we known as people who can be depended upon to tell the truth at all times, in every situation, because the Lord detests lying lips? Argumentative, quarrelsome speech. We heard earlier that the Lord detests a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. And Proverbs warns against our meddling, our getting involved in other people's quarrels. Proverbs teaches it's both dangerous and inflammatory. 26 verse 17. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. Pull a dog by its ears and you will expose its teeth, and the outcome will not be pleasant. 26 verse 21. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Don't be that person who is quick to criticize and condemn others, who stokes resentment and ill feeling, who feeds grievances. The world has enough people like that and doesn't need any assistance from the people of God. Slander, insults and slurs. How tempting it can be to deliberately misrepresent someone for our own advancement and sinful ends. How appealing it can be to present them in the worst possible light, not letting the full truth get in the way. Few simple words can do it. What does Proverbs say of such activity? Chapter 10, verse 18. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. The idea of that is that it is hatred in the heart that animates the lips that utter the lies that come forth in the form of slander and misrepresentation. And Proverbs tells us that that is fool's talk. And the New Testament would reinforce that the speech of a follower of Jesus Christ is to be a slander-free zone. Do you know that three times in the New Testament we are explicitly told to do one thing with slander? Rid yourselves of it. Ephesians 4:31, Colossians 3:8, and 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Gossip and rumor. One of the few proverbs that appears twice in the book of Proverbs is as follows. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into a man's inmost parts. 18 verse 8, repeated in 26 verse 22. Gossip has been called the lowest form of the communion of the saints. The proverb pictures us as people who gobble it up with great delight. But gossip can wreak destruction and even end friendships. 16 verse 28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. 17 verse 9, he who covers over an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. The wise person will not betray a confidence and suffer permanent reputational damage. Proverbs 25 verse 9, if you argue your case with a neighbor, do not betray another man's confidence, or he who hears it may shame you, and you will never lose your bad reputation. It's worth bearing in mind that if a person is prepared to talk to you about others in a gossipy way, he's probably prepared to talk about you to others in the same fashion. And yes, there can be complexities around the keeping of confidences where there are safety issues involved. But I think we all know the difference between information sharing for those reasons and the tasty tidbits of gossip and rumour that just hit the spot in our sinful nature. Bragging and flattery. Speech that is not rooted in reality, either about ourselves or others. Is there anything more unattractive than self-praise? 27 verse 2, let another praise you and not your own mouth. Someone else and not your own lips. Let praise come to you where it is merited, but beware the seductive power of flattery. 29 verse 5, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. The flatterer is actually a hunter snaring you as his victim. You see, flattery can be the attractive veneer that disguises deceit. Chapter 26, verse 23 to 25. Like a coating of glaze over earthenware, are fervent lips with an evil heart. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips, but in his heart he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him, for seven abominations fill his heart. You see, silver dross was used as a glaze for ceramics in the ancient world. It looked good, but it literally flattered to deceive, for it was worthless. This flattering deception is no more graphically illustrated than in the case of the promiscuous woman and her seduction of the young man who lacked judgment. In chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, with persuasive words she led him away. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Proverbs is not saying we cannot be kind and complimentary in our speech, but what we say must be in harmony with truth and correspond with reality. We must never play people for our own advantage. So much for words, for speech that is dangerous and destructive and to be avoided at all costs. But what about words that are wise and that bless and build up those who hear them? So let's think very briefly about wise words. If I asked you to describe the most powerful members of your body, I doubt you would give the answer that the book of Proverbs gives. Chapter 12, 19. Truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue lasts only a moment. Chapter 13, verse 3, he who guards his lips guards his life, but he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. chapter 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the heart of fools. The book of Proverbs refers to our lips 42 times, to our mouth 51 times, to our tongue 19 times. Oh, that we would recognize the power of our words 45 times, and their power for good or ill. As we fear the Lord and grow in wisdom, we are able to share wisdom through what we say. So here are four features of the wise words that the book of Proverbs commands. Number one, they are gracious. One of the better known Proverbs is Proverbs 15, verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, gentleness of speech must not be understood to mean some sort of weak approval, irrespective of what someone has said or done. No, gentle speech is truthful speech, but it's gentle, and it can be extremely powerful and well received. 25 verse 15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. And this gentle speech can come in the form of a rebuke and be welcomed. Proverbs 25, verse 12. Like an earring of gold or an ornament of fine gold is a wise man's rebuke to a listening ear. Proverbs 27, verses 5 and 6. Better is an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. And as in everything, our perfect model is the Lord Jesus himself, who was full of grace and truth, and he was never one at the expense of the other. And that's what our speech is to be. It's to be that gentle, gracious, truthful speech. Wise words are gracious. Secondly, they are few. Proverbs famously makes the point with tremendous irony in 17 verse 28. Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue. In other words, if only a fool could keep quiet, he could fool others. But he's too foolish for that. And the fact is that the more we have to say, the greater the risk of incriminating ourselves. 10 verse 19. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Proverbs teaches that wise words will be few, not only in the sense that we ought not to have too much to say, but also the wisdom they carry will be a rare commodity in our world. Chapter 20, verse 15. Gold there is, and rubies in abundance, but lips that speak knowledge are a rare jewel. So let each of us strive to be people who are worth listening to, because we have something worthwhile to say. The world has enough chattering fools already. Wise words are gracious. They are few. Thirdly, they are honest. Proverbs challenges the way of the world, which offers advancement at the expense of truth. Remember the words of Lady Wisdom in chapter 8, verse 8. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. It is honest speech that kings are repeatedly presented as God's just rulers in the book of Proverbs, but it is honest speech that kings look for and reward. 16, verse 13, kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. I mean, who wants to live with people around them who they cannot trust to tell the truth? And the value of truthful words is powerfully stated in chapter 24, verse 26. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. The writer's saying that speaking the truth is the equivalent of that gesture of love and loyalty between close relatives or devoted friends or the loyal subject of the king. And one of the requirements of every New Testament believer is that we speak the truth in love to one another. Ephesians 4, 15. Fourthly and finally, wise words, they are apt. And this is actually quite a major strand in Proverbs' teaching on our speech, on our wise words. Chapter 15, verse 23. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. And how good is a timely word? Opportune speech is a wonderfully edifying thing. The assessment of a situation and the appropriate injection of truth into it. Proverbs 25, verse 11. A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And the idea here is that such speech is both beautiful and valuable. How can someone become a person who deploys wise words in this way that transforms a situation for the better? Well, here's how. Proverbs 10, 14. Wise men store up knowledge, but the fool invites ruin. You see, no one is born wise, but we can become wise. We can build up a treasure house of knowledge by being instructed in wisdom that comes through fearing the Lord. Such is the very point of the book of Proverbs. But don't think it's simply a matter of learning pithy little sayings that we can quote automatically in any situation. Wise speech demands much more than that. Proverbs 15:28, the lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. Unless wisdom is incarnated in the life of the speaker, even Proverbs, even those wise sayings, will achieve no good. Proverbs 26, verse 7. Like a lame man's legs that hang limp is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. The underlying foolishness of the life means that the proverb spoken by the fool carries no authority and therefore makes no impact. Lame legs hanging limp. Even something that's true in itself. Or Proverbs 26, verse 9. Like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. A saying that is wise in itself can actually be so misapplied to a situation that it will wound and lacerate those who hear it. Wisdom is required for handling the wise sayings. This is a long-term development program in our lives, to be able to speak aptly, to be living in wisdom, to have developed a storehouse of wisdom, to be able to assess the situation and bring appropriate truth and guidance into the situation that turns it to the good. That's what Proverbs wants to do with us. Proverbs 10, verse 20. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. Let's make it our prayer that as we fear the Lord and grow in true wisdom, we in turn become people who can speak that wisdom into the lives of others. And as the Apostle Paul would say, in Colossians 4, verse 5 and 6, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen.